Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm BOGO offer. For 1 week only, buy one, get one. To order, go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code HOWIEBOGO.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
As it has been in the United States for Jamaica, one of the issues that has been presented as an issue that is economic in the way of...
A few moments later.
By assisting in terms of the recovery efforts in Jamaica that have been essential to, I believe, what is necessary to strengthen not only the issue of public health, but also the economy.
That's way too long.
Way too long. You're stretching it out for your
I'm
past.
Not stretching it out. I shortened it.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
A federal investigation into Hunter Biden has gained steam in recent months.
Choo-choo!
The probe has looked at whether Biden and some of his associates have violated money laundering, tax, and foreign lobbying laws, as well as firearm and other regulations.
Oh, they don't care. We all do it.
Who, criminals?
Senior citizens. No big deal.
You could get arrested.
Arrested? Come on! I'm an old man. I'm confused.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. We spoke last night to Carla Gomes, the owner of Tiramia on Salem Street in the north end of Boston. There, the North End restaurateurs are being hit with a fiat, a levy from the city hall of new mayor Michelle Wu. She wants them to pay $7,500 for the privilege of having outdoor seating again this summer. And no other neighborhood in the city has to pay, restaurants have to pay $7,500 a summer. Even though places like Chinatown, Beacon Hill are at least as congested as the North End. And we talked to her about it. There's talk they're going to sue apparently the city to try to get some kind of relief from the courts. And we wanted to check in with another restaurant owner today, George Mendoza. He and his brother Frank own Monica's, which is also in the North End. And we just wanted to check in with the Mendozas. George, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show. Any new developments today?
Absolutely, Howie. How are you doing? Thank you for having us on, and thanks for all your help. You've helped us out a bunch. We actually have secure counsel. We have a strategy that we're going to use. We're not going to reveal it, but she's going to hear from us. I believe that others are going to join enthusiastically what we have to offer. I'm also pleased to hear that other neighborhoods in the city are starting to complain about the summer patio mandates. I heard that Jamaican Plain is very upset about the...
Yeah, I was gonna go over that with you. Let me fill people in on this if they haven't heard about what's going on in Jamaica Plain, which is down closer to where Michelle Wu lives. They were talking about they've been allowing people in Jamaica Plain to use these planters to protect their patios, you know, from having cars go out of control and hit them. So they've done away with the planters and the pallets. Now the restaurants must use, I'm reading now from a story on NBC10, now restaurants must use more heavy-duty equipment like Jersey barriers. Jersey barriers. Now, there's a couple of problems with using Jersey barriers. If you're in construction, you know what they are. First of all, you can't find them because they're, like everything else, there's a shortage of Jersey barriers. If you can find them, they cost between $200 and $700, and you have to buy a minimum of 8. So in Jamaica Plain, George, it looks like they're getting hit almost as hard as you guys in the North End are getting hit.
It's a citywide problem. It's a citywide problem, and it's a complete abuse of power. On top of the fact that, you know, they call themselves environmentalists, we have to throw everything that we use for 2 years that was approved for 2 years in a row by the government, we have to throw it away. And we have to replace it with something that is non-recyclable. If you're using the plastic barriers, they're a disaster. You have to fill them up with water, another natural resource. So they speak out of both sides of the mouth. In addition to the fact that none of the numbers that she's using are factual. We checked the numbers from the 311 calls. They're not factual. The neighborhood was cleaner and more orderly with the restaurants outside. We are a very safe neighborhood considering the crime that's going on around around Boston. She's got a few people on her side. The two councils that support her are very, very small groups. I sat on one of them. I had a seat in one of them for many, many years. And the same topic about the folks on Hanover Street who decided to join forces with the with the city. They don't represent all of us. And mind you, we don't have any problem with people doing things differently or seeing things otherwise. Otherwise, this neighborhood is a neighborhood of very different people. I always tell people that if you don't know that.
George, why do you think they're treating you this way? I mean, you know, maybe she, you know, I thought, you know, some people say, well, she has it in for Italians because, you know, they were with the other candidate for mayor. You know, they objected to having the Christopher Columbus statue taken out of the park there on Commercial Street. But now this has expanded to Jamaica Plain, which is a much more liberal area of the city. And she's doing the same thing, hassling restaurateurs.
You know, I think that people don't realize it. You know, we're an easy target right now. Okay, we, you know, it's an European descent neighborhood. There's 80 restaurants. Okay, it's a very small. We take a very small part of the city, 1 square mile. You know, we're not the most condensed neighborhood. We're the fourth most condensed neighborhood. So other places are more condensed. And this isn't a complete overreach. This is not legal. It's another tax that we have to pay. We have to pay insurance on top of it. We have to take an insurance policy in behalf of the city of Boston, which is going to cost you a bundle of money every month. Okay? This is in a time in history where we're just starting to get over a pandemic with extremely high prices for raw materials and goods. You know, we produce pasta, we make breads, we make sauces, we buy tomatoes. Everything has gone through the roof. This is a slap on the face. If she's trying to help the city of Boston, she's not doing so with this. On the other hand, she's spending our money and buying people free bus rides, which I think is an insult to them and to the rest of us. Okay, where are the ARPA funds? When is she going to release them?
Okay. Yeah, how much money is that? How much money have they got? They've got millions of dollars in this funny money from D.C., right?
Exactly. They have millions of dollars and they're not passing it down. You know, I've heard in confidence from members of the city council who are horrified at the fact that she's holding $1 billion of funds that she's not releasing while their precincts, their little wards, are suffering. Okay? Mm-hmm. And mind you, I challenge her to an argument on this. Okay? Stop hiding. Stop having meetings in closets. Include all of us. Okay? And let's have a conversation about this.
Were you up there? Were you up there at City Hall when she shut you guys out of the meeting? What'd you think of that? What'd you think of that when she closed the door?
Terrible. On top of the fact that she had about 20 police officers and 4 paddy wagons downstairs ready to arrest us all. After they had sent an email to invite us to an event, okay, that was being called for North End businesses, in which only 6 or 7 businesses were allowed to go in. And again, all the power to those businesses. They can deal with the city in the fashion they want. The rest of us don't have that interest, okay? And it is unnecessary for her to continue to attack small businesses. These are family businesses, mom-and-pop businesses. These have been, every one of these restaurants has a last name attached to it. And those people, those families, those kids suffer. Every time I have to take out of my pocket to give to the government, I have to take away from my family, from my employees. We employ thousands of people. We employed minorities of all sorts. We employ people from all walks of life. I urge everybody to join in this fight and continue to support us and tell the city of Boston that this is a city of citizens, not of tyrants.
George, I know, Frank, you know, people are saying she's doing this because she thinks she can pit the restaurant owners, most of whom have moved out of the city, against the people in the neighborhood who still live in the city. Obviously, I think your brother Frank lives in the city. Do you live in the city?
I live in the city too. Absolutely.
So,
I live in the city.
Yeah, so this is another red herring. There, a lot of you guys still live in the city. How about the fact that she has at this press conference where you guys were in the city are banned? She's got one of the politicians that's with her is a woman named Lydia Edwards. Now, Lydia Edwards is a city councilor in East Boston representing the North End as well. District city councilor making $100,000 a year. She was just elected to the state Senate in a special election. She's making $100,000 plus there. So this Lydia Edwards has got two jobs and she's making part-time jobs, making over $200,000 a year. How many of your employees are making, have two jobs making over $200,000 a year, George?
Not only that, with her qualifications, for crying out loud, okay? I'm sorry. You know what I mean? There's a lot of immaturity going into politics these days. I hate to say it, okay? I mean, look at what they're surrounding themselves with. I heard from somebody in City Hall who told me, George, they're all looking for the bathroom, an expression. They have no idea what they're into. You know what I mean? They have no idea. They're all lost in there. It's a shame. It's a complete shame. The other thing that's a shame is Aaron Mikowicz. Sold out the neighborhood that promoted him.
The state rep.
Started his career. Yeah, the state rep. He started his career in our neighborhood council here. He abandoned us. He's nowhere to be seen. It's another shame. Okay? But like I say, it is the sad part of all this is that we the citizens have slept on our laurels here. We need to get more active. We need to get more involved. We need to support our businesses. Boston is a vibrant city. Without the businesses, it's nothing. The North End has been promoted by every single mom-and-pop business downstairs. We are the foundations of every building. We are the reason why people want to come here and why people want to come over and live among us. This is a little piece of history, a little piece of Europe, a little piece of Americana. This is a great place, and we do not need the likes of Michelle Wu to come over and change it on us and to put us once again, one against the other. What she's doing is the tactics of the left, divide and conquer. We're not going to let her. Okay, we're all going to defend our point of view, okay? And I respect everybody else's. Those who don't agree with me, I respect. I hope they respect me too, okay? But we're going to fight this battle, and it's not going to be the last battle we fight with them. We have other problems in the city. We have issues with the public school system. They are teaching our kids. They're indoctrinating them in views that none of us share. That's going to be the next phase, okay? This is just they woke a bear up. The folks in the North End, many of us, who believe on the values of the people who lived here before us hundreds of years ago, Paul Revere, Sam Adams, and all those guys, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to fight for liberty. We're going to fight for our history. We're going to fight for our way of life. And we're going to continue to beat to that drum because we cannot let them win.
You speak about Paul Revere and Sam Adams. It would just be good if you guys still had Freddie Langone. A little more recent politician from the North End. He wouldn't be putting up with this crap. He'd be yelling at Michelle Wu. He'd be screaming at her if he were still around.
He'd be defending his people. This is what these people are not doing. The people who represent our neighborhood, John Romano, the young lady D'Amico, Aaron Mikowicz, Lydia Edwards, none of these people are defending our neighborhood. You know what they're doing? They're selling it one piece at a time. While they restrict our restaurants, our small family businesses, they are all behind a big hotel on Cross Street that's going to have three restaurants. Okay, they were all on board of the High Market Hotel right next to the Bostonian that's got roof decks, outdoor patios. All that takes away from our businesses. Okay, they continue to challenge the North End with competition. The Seaport was another fiasco. Mind you, organized by the government, things usually fail.
You got to get together with JP. You got to get together with JP, and they got to be moving on South Boston, too, I'm sure, if they're moving on Jamaica Plain. You know, all you guys got to get together. Speaking of founding fathers, one of them said, we must all hang together or we will most assuredly all hang separately. And I think that applies to you guys, too, in the in Boston. I wish you the best. We're with you 100% all the way, George.
Thank you, Howie. Thank you very much. Your help is invaluable. I urge everybody who's out there to follow our cause. We're going to start a GoFundMe at the beginning of the week. We're going to need help, okay? And we're not just going to fight this issue. We're going to fight other issues that are plaguing the city, okay, and destroying our values and our families.
Okay. Thank you, George. Keep us informed, and we're with you on this. Everybody in the city and everybody who spends time in the city is on your side here. Thank you, George Mendoza from Monica's Restaurant in the North End. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Your mother was a hamster, and your father smelt of elderberries.
The Howie Carr Show returns after this.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
Howie Carr is back.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Solti. Solti is a soft gel capsule made with a super enriched extract from green tea, and it is decaffeinated. Solti has helped millions maintain lower cholesterol levels and healthier hearts. Pay attention to your good health. Go to solti.com. That's S-O-L-T-E-A.com, S-O-L-T-E-A.com. Enter code Howie at checkout to get $40 off with free shipping. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Do you believe representatives of the Oscars asked Will Smith to leave after he slapped Chris Rock?
No, I do not.
92% say no.
All right. So, you know, speaking of this thing in Jamaica Plain where they're going to make them buy jersey barriers, or, you know, I think that not only is the cost prohibitive and you can't, and in many cases you can't find any of them, but don't you need like a crane or something to put these down? You see them on the highway, they're using, what do they call it, a boom truck or I don't know what, something like that to put the things down. I mean, what is she thinking of? I mean, is she trying to put the boot to everybody in the city who has a real job? It's just bad. And again, the city council yesterday, we talked about. I got a column running tomorrow. I just went down all the events where they haven't punished anybody who rioted, who caused all kinds of disturbances, who shut down interstate highways, who shut down bridges, who threw frozen urine bottles at cops. Nothing happened to any of these people. Nothing happened to anybody who looted on. One guy got it. One guy did time, I think. The guy who fired the bullets at the cops on Tremont Street. They burned a police car. They looted all up and down the high end shops in Copley Place in on Newbury Street. Nothing ever happened to any of them. But now they're rousting the people who demonstrate outside Michelle Wu's house in Roslindale. And again, I don't think, I'm not in favor of bothering neighbors. But still, I mean, why are they cracking down on them? And again, I checked it out today. I thought about it last night. I mentioned it. But after the city council in 2020 voted 8-5, eight city councilors did a brave thing, although it's a sane thing, by not voting to defund the police. Their houses were vandalized by Black Lives Matter. No one was arrested. So if you're a lefty, you can do whatever you want. People could have died from those hippie rallies not hippie rallies. They blocked I-93 in Milton South and Somerville North. People could have died coming in on ambulances. You know, okay, you have a heart attack. You're trying to get them to Mass General or Brigham, whatever, and you're stuck in traffic for hours at a time because these guys have handcuffed these hippies on trust funds have chained themselves to most of them weren't even Bostonians. They were just blow-ins, drifters. You know, so when they finally came up, you know, to get their $100 and continued without a finding charges, they'd moved to West Virginia or Kentucky or somewhere else. They were just blowing through, and nothing happened to them. And these are natives that are there, and they're gonna fine them $150, $150, $350 bucks for demonstrating. And again, these are people who can't get in to see Michelle Wu; they're locked outside. And she's protected by a phalanx of cops, as George Mendoza said, she's got four paddy wagons downstairs, you know, waiting to drag anybody away who steps out of line. I'm sorry, it is a paddy wagon. We'll take some calls when we come back. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Tomorrow, Grace and I start giving away $50 a day for the entire month of April. This is not an April Fool's joke. We give it away to one person who's on our email list at HowieCarshow.com. And all you got to do is go to HowieCarshow.com, and it'll pop right up. You can enter your name and your email address, and you're entered into the contest. We'll be giving away one for each, $50 per show, every weekday in the month of April, so you can win some free money to deal with this terrible inflation. While you're at HowieCarsShow.com, you can also check up on our store. We have our Make Gas Cheap Again t-shirt, which I'm wearing right now. It's a great t-shirt, and it's available. And we also have gift certificates to a few gift certificates to Fun Spot in Laconia, New Hampshire, the world's largest arcade center. It's a great place. There's only a couple left, but get them now. $50 gift certificates for $25, just in time for Easter break with your kids or grandkids. And Maria's Ristorante in Portland, Maine, great Italian restaurant, oldest restaurant, Italian restaurant in my birthplace on Congress Street, the street I was born on. Maria's Ristorante, $50 gift certificate for $25 there. It's a good, we had a lot of good stuff. 844-500-4242. We're going to take your calls. I am going to read this story about Ron DeSantis talking about the two latest Floridians, American citizens, murdered by an illegal alien, a Haitian in this case, a Haitian drug dealer. Not Joe Biden refused to deport him, even though he was convicted of drug offenses, and he killed two Americans. It's just the latest. It's not the first time this has happened in Florida or anywhere else. 844-500-4242. Jackie, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jackie.
Oh, hello, Howie. Nice to talk to you.
Thanks for calling.
My question was really, thank you. I was just following up on what George was saying, and I completely agree. I'm a hairstylist in Brookline, and so many of my clients were so happy at the opportunity to be able to go out last year and dine outside with the COVID, because so many just wouldn't go out anywhere. But that gave people the opportunity to go out and get some confidence back. And my heart bleeds when I just think of all the money that these small businesses have had to shell out to survive and keep their heads above water. And I just think it's so cruel that now she's just taking advantage of this and hammering them yet again. It's like, we're going to lose even more quality small businesses. It's just heart-wrenching. It really is.
It is. And you're right. It's for no reason. And you know, now she's extending this these draconian rules into other neighborhoods, which, you know, you don't want anybody affected. But, I mean, why did she single out the North End? When, again, George is the second person I've talked to, more than two, actually, who said that the North End is not even the most congested neighborhood in the city. I would say Chinatown is probably number one. And maybe Beacon Hill is number two. There aren't as many restaurants on Beacon Hill, but Chinatown's got, look at Tyler Street. Look at all the restaurants they got there. I mean, you know, why aren't they being told that they have to pay the extra price? I don't know. It's ridiculous. It's and you know, South Boston, it's not as congested as the North End, but I mean, they got a ton of restaurants on Broadway now, and these aren't the buckets of blood of the old days, you know, like Triple O's. Those places are gone. These are nice places now. I think a lot of them got outdoor dining. What are they gonna do? Are they gonna crack down on all the yuppies and the yuppie restaurants in South Boston too? They got to be fair here. Thanks for the call, Jackie. 844-500-4242. Lucille, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Lucille.
Remember me, the Judge Kavarian day? Remember me from the old West End? I know the Mendozas. I knew the beautiful mother, Monica. The father was a prominent doctor at the VA. Don't let me meet Michelle. I'm going to let her have it. Tell her to clean her own backyard. You don't know me. I get the cannolis, the balls to do it. 83-year-old Sicilian from the old West End. Remember me? George Kavarian was so fat when he looks down, he couldn't see the Gomez of Yama. Is what you call it, and you use me as a promo. Remember when I went to the BC High Prom and I lost my top? Plop. And I grabbed my bare assets. I didn't know the restrooms, and I walk in a place where there's water fountains. The
freaking urinals. Okay, Lucille. Thank you. Thanks for the call, for bringing back those old memories. Magic moments, as Perry Como used to sing. David, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, David.
Hi, Howie. You had a live one there, boy. Listen, Howie, I love your show. You talked about me about maybe 12 years ago, how to get a judgeship in Massachusetts. Remember that?
I don't, but I've written a lot of columns like that.
You know what? You're a classy guy. You know what? And basically, you're pretty funny. But getting back to those Jersey barriers, very simple, Howie. If they want those Jersey barriers to protect us so nobody will crash into the pedestrians or the clients that are eating in their facilities, all you got to do, go to Home Depot. Go get 2x3s and a sheet of half-inch plywood. Wrap the plywood around the 2x3s and make it like a box, okay? Whether it's 8 inches or 6 inches. And then what you do is you call up your local concrete company and you have them pour it. You pull it off the top and you put a nice design of your restaurant on top or whatever.
David, I have no doubt that would work, but you know damn well that the pencil pushers and paper pushers and pencil sharpeners at City Hall aren't going to allow that. They're going to insist that you have to buy these orange cones and Jersey barriers from a licensed delivery company. That's because they don't want to get sued, or they're going to say they don't want to get sued. But it's just about hassling people. That's all it is. Thanks for the call, David. Bruce, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bruce.
Hey, Howie, you may have covered it earlier. I missed the first half of your show, but I really want to hear your opinion on it. I was flipping through some news from the AP earlier today, and they had a story on where Hillary and the DNC admitted to paying for that
right dossier
and then also mislabeling the funds they used to pay for it.
We talked about that a couple of days ago, Bruce, when it first broke. But you can't be faulted for not seeing the story. It hasn't exactly gotten a lot of legs, if you know what I mean, for obvious reasons. But yeah, the FEC, the Federal Elections Commission, finally answered this complaint that Hillary Clinton, through and the DNC, which she controlled at the time through her campaign, they had paid Perkins Coie, the crooked law firm, where Sussman, who's now indicted on the by John Durham, and Mark Elias, who's resigned from the law firm, they funneled over $1 million through Perkins Coie. Said it was for legal bills for the campaign and for the DNC, and it went to Fusion GPS, which is this opposition research firm, which is run by some dodgy ex-Wall Street Journal reporters, and they paid off this guy, Christopher Steele, to make up this dossier, this 35 pages of nonsense. And so after all these years, it's 6 years, five plus years since the dossier came out, the FEC fined the DNC, the Democrat National Committee, $100,000, and they fined Hillary Clinton's campaign $8,000. And as the guy at Powerline Blog said, do you think they got their money's worth? They almost ruined the Trump campaign. They destroyed his transition, and they tied up his presidency for over 2 years with made-up, fabricated hoax investigations. And they got fined $8,000 and $100,000. I forget which one, whether it was DNC or Hillary, said, well, we just settled these ancient charges just to make it go away, but it was stupid. You know, we didn't, and they didn't admit any guilt either. So they basically got away with it. This is like, you know, if you got arrested for disorderly conduct or drunk driving or something, they would, in state court, they would call it a CWOF, continued without a finding. And you pay the court costs. That's what this was. This was the federal civil version of a CWOF, continued without a finding. And it's so frustrating. So in other words, let me put it to you another way, Bruce. I'm glad you brought this up because I can expand on it. Donald Trump was sued by Stormy Daniels and her attorney, Michael Avenatti, who's now in the custody of the Bureau of Prisons. And he got, for her frivolous lawsuits against them, he's been given $542,000 from Stormy Daniels. And not that he's ever going to get the money, but they've awarded it to him. So Stormy Daniels, who has no money, she has nothing, she's being punished more for her stupid lawsuit than Hillary Clinton was being punished for trying to destroy the guy who beat her. By the way, do we have Donald Trump's statement? I think he recorded a statement this time out, didn't he, Taylor? Okay, I thought we had it. Okay, sorry. Okay, 844-500-4242. We'll be back, and I'm going to read you the DeSantis story about the reckless open border policies led to murders of two more Florida residents. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr, keeping the hacks on their toes every weekday from 3 to 7.
We've got to protect our phony baloney job, gentlemen. We must do something about this immediately. Harumph, 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 harumph.
I didn't get a harumph out of that guy.
The Howie Carr Show returns after this.
Forget the myths that the media has created about the White House. Truth is, these are not very bright guys.
The Howie Carr Show is back.
Okay, we found the official statement by Donald J. Trump, 45th President of the United States, on the occasion of his latest legal victory over Stormy Daniels. Take it away, Taylor. Cut Trump.
Breaking news. Wow, just out that the 2016 Clinton campaign and the DNC paid the FEC today for violating the law by failing to disclose that their payments for legal advice and services, that's in quotations, to law firm Perkins Coie was in fact a guise to hire numerous companies, all of whom are now named defendants in my lawsuit, to try and take me down and illegally destroy your favorite president, me. This was done to create, as I've said many times and is now confirmed, a hoax funded by the DNC and the Clinton campaign. This corruption is only beginning to be revealed, is un-American, and must never be allowed to happen again. Where do I go to get my reputation back?
He has another one, too. We'll get to that other one later. The other one was about Stormy Daniels and his victory in the Stormy Daniels case. But while Taylor's looking for that sound cut, I'll tell you about what DeSantis said here today. He blamed the recent...
Well, I did find that one.
Oh, you got that? Okay,
yep,
we got that one.
Was released today as well, yes.
Okay, here we have... This is the other statement from President Trump about winning court damages in the Stormy Daniels porn star lawsuit.
Today, the Ninth Circuit issued yet another attorney fees ruling in my favor against Stephanie Clifford, a.k.a. Stormy Daniels. That's how you know her. This time, awarding me $245,209.67 for my fees incurred in her Ninth Circuit appeal of her failed lawsuit against me, dismissed under Texas anti-slap statute. We've heard a lot about slap this week. Less than 2 weeks ago, the Ninth Circuit ruled in my favor and upheld an award of $292,052.33 for the trial court work in the same case. As of now, Miss Clifford owes me $538,262.00. That's good news for her, right? In this case, not counting attorney fees for her appeal of the trial court attorney fee award, which the Ninth Circuit upheld 2 weeks ago. Congratulations to Harmeet K. Dillon and her team at the Dillon Law Group. This entire case has been nothing but a disaster for Miss Clifford and her lawyer, Michael Avenatti. Remember him? Michael Avenatti. From the start, a total waste of court time and resources, ending up with her owing me a large and growing amount in attorney fees that never needed to have been spent. Especially since, as I've stated many times, I've never had an affair with her, nor would I have ever wanted to, even in her wildest imagination.
My only regret about that one is he didn't get the Bureau of Prisons number in for Michael J. Avenatti. All right, thank you, Mr. President. All right, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis today blamed the recent killings of a Daytona Beach couple on President Biden's immigration policies and what he called the soft on crime enforcement efforts of local prosecutors. Haitian illegal alien Jean Massine, who was in the U.S. illegally, of course, confessed to the murders of the Daytona Beach couple, Terry and Brenda Altman, ages 48 and 55. DeSantis said the Biden administration's dangerous immigration policies, as well as the soft-on-crime policies of the Ninth Circuit State's Attorney's Office, Orange and Osceola counties, have once again resulted in the needless deaths of innocent Floridians. Floridians should not be subject to the reckless open-border policies that the Biden administration is imposing on this country. After attending Daytona Beach Bike Week, the Altmans allegedly were followed home by the savage on March 6. Their bodies were found on the side of the road, covered in blood with multiple stab wounds and their throats slit. After he was apprehended, police discovered the illegal alien had one felony arrest and two misdemeanor arrests related to drug charges. Massine was previously arrested in Orange County, that's Orlando, in 2019 on multiple drug-related charges involving cocaine, meth, and marijuana. Former state's attorney Arimas Ayala dropped the charges on February 10, 2020 for unknown reasons. Rather than being deported, Haitians were granted temporary protected status by the Biden administration last year, prompting tens of thousands of Haitian illegals to enter Del Rio, Texas, causing a humanitarian crisis last September. The Altmans were killed after two Florida men were allegedly murdered by Florida foreign nationals in the U.S. illegally. St. Augustine resident 25-year-old Corbin Wagner was killed by Dominican illegal Orlando Gonzalez Beto, who was charged with driving under the influence manslaughter. He had no U.S. driver's license or address and a blood alcohol level of 0.270, more than three times the legal limit. The murders came after a Jacksonville father of four was allegedly stabbed to death in October by a Honduran national. That 24-year-old man had entered the U.S. illegally, claiming to be an unaccompanied minor under the Biden open borders policy. It took the work of the Jacksonville Sheriff's Department to uncover his real identity and age, which hadn't been done by Homeland Security or Border Patrol agencies under orders from Brandon when he first entered the U.S. illegally. Thanks, Brandon. See you tomorrow at 3. I'm Howie Carr.